Sarah Shadrick is going to provide that for us. She's going to come and share with us the burden that God has given her for the country of Uganda. So, Miss Sarah, you come at this time.
Well, good evening. It's wonderful to be here. It's been a blessing already being a part of your conference. I've enjoyed getting to meet many of you, getting to talk to you before the meetings. But I want to give you my testimony, how God got me to Uganda, and then I have a video you'll be able to kind of picture what I'm talking about. But my name is Sarah Shadrick. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up going to church. I was saved when I was 7 years old, but doubted my salvation for multiple years. It wasn't until I was reading the verse, the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm indeed a child of God, that I had the assurance of my salvation. And it was having a relationship with God, having him speak to me through his word, praying to God that I got the assurance of my salvation. And then God used multiple different experiences in my life to give me a desire to be a missionary, even from an early age back in elementary school. I had the opportunity to be involved in my church growing up, through helping the children's classes or playing piano for church, being involved in different outreach ministries. And we also had many missionaries coming to our church. I got to hear about the different parts of the world. I hear about their ministries. Some of them would come over to our house for a meal, and I got to meet them personally. And God gave me a desire to be a missionary. So I went to college. I chose the elementary education with a music ministries minor, kind of as the practical training, I guess, to be a missionary. But then I got to my junior year of college and didn't feel like God had given me a specific country that he wanted me to go to. So I started looking into different teaching jobs in the States, different ministries here that I could work at. And during that time of praying, asking people's advice, I was connected with a missionary family in Kampala, the capital of Uganda. And they were looking for someone to come and help them for a year. They had a church plant there. So I graduated college, and I was working with that family for 8 months right out of college. That's how God got me into the country, helping with the homeschooling, playing the piano for their church. When I was in there, I was able to know a little bit more of the culture of Uganda, what it was like to live there, what the ministries were like working with the Ugandan people. But then that family was coming back to the States at the end of the 8 months, at the end of the school year, to visit their supporting churches. And I still had the 6 months left on my work permit. So again, I was praying if God would have another ministry for me. And he connected me with a group of seven missionaries, a missionary team about 6 hours north in the town of Soroti, Uganda. And there's a church. And then as a ministry out of the church is an orphan ministry. And I was able to visit for a week, meet the missionary team. I get to know the orphan children. They put me in some of the English classes teaching. And God gave me a desire to return. So I finished out the school year in Kampala and then spent the last 6 months in Soroti. I spent quite a bit of time with the orphan children there. There's a boarding school, and the children are there 24/7. So teaching in the classrooms, spending time with them even outside of the classrooms, you know, game time on Saturdays, supervising activities, and then being involved in the different church ministries there. God gave me a love for the children of Uganda specifically, and it got me excited seeing the different ministries and opportunities we had in the town of Soroti. We have the opportunity to go into the public schools, and one of our missionary ladies, she has a ministry working with the deaf children. She takes the deaf children out of the classrooms, sometimes has to teach them sign language, but then uses sign language to teach them just the basic reading, writing. Because they can't hear or speak, they really aren't picking up anything from their classrooms. They're very smart, but they just aren't understanding their teachers. So we can help them with that. But once we're in the classrooms, we have the opportunity, we're free to share the gospel with them, to teach the Bible. So it's exciting to see going into the schools, whether it's using sports or working with the deaf children, sign language, or tutoring, working with teaching English. And then once we're in there, we can teach the Bible. So I was excited to see that. And then another ministry was the Bible clubs. We have many children coming to our church for Sunday school, but there's still many more that don't come, and especially in the surrounding villages. It's too far for them to walk. The parents probably don't have a car to drive them, but we have the opportunity to do the Bible clubs, more or less taking the Sunday school to the children. Again, playing games with them, singing songs, getting to know them, but the main purpose, Bill, teach them the Bible. So that was another ministry. I was excited to see the opportunity. But I'd been praying the whole 14 months I was in Uganda, whether God was going to use this just as the one-year mission trip or if he was going to call me back as a full-time missionary. And about, I guess, 2 months before I was coming back to the States, God showed me Psalm 37. And for each one of my guests, fears or misgivings about being a missionary, God had specific promises for me in that chapter. So it was exciting to see how God was directing me so clearly to me personally. One of the verses says that God orders our steps, and I could look back and see how he had been directing me, you know, choosing my major at college, getting me into the country, bringing me to Sorority. It was exciting to see how God had been directing, even if I didn't realize he was directing at the time, but getting me to the ministries there in Sorority. So I returned back to the States in November. My work permit expired. And now I'm preparing to go back to the ministries there in Sorority, the missionary team there, helping with their children's ministries, the orphan ministry, and then the Bible clubs, the Sunday schools in their church, assisting those church planters there. But I have a video. It's kind of an overview of Uganda as a whole, but then focuses on Sorority. So you'll see pictures of the church and the orphan ministry. And if I have time, I'll come back and share a little bit more about the church and the orphan ministry so you can know a little bit more of the details on that.
Uganda is called the Pearl of Africa because of its beautiful, diverse landscapes and exotic animals. Located in East Africa, Uganda is a country that is slightly smaller than the state of Oregon. It has a population of 47 million people. Ugandans are religious people and most claim to be either Catholic or Anglican, although hearing a Muslim prayer call from the local mosque is a daily occurrence. Because of disease and war, over half of Ugandans' 47 million people are under the age of 15, making Uganda the second youngest country in the world. Because of this, children often raise children and are left destitute. In 2004, BIMI missionaries started a ministry to care for these children and reach them for the Lord. SOAP, or Sorority Orphan Assistance Project, currently cares for and provides for 34 Ugandan orphans. A school on SOAP property brings in trained teachers to provide the first 7 years of education for these children. Sorority Independent Baptist Church holds weekly services for the children, SOAP staff, and community. Hello, my name is Sarah Shadrick. When the Lord directed and provided for me to serve with BIMI missionaries in Uganda, He confirmed that my desire to be a missionary was also His will. I spent the first 8 months of my time in Uganda serving with BIMI missionaries in the capital of Kampala. My last 6 months were spent in the city of Sorority serving at SOAP. Because I majored in elementary education with a music ministries minor, I had the opportunity of teaching English in each of the 7 grades, while also doing some tutoring and teaching a combined music class. I also had the opportunity of giving weekly evening devotions, supervising activity time, teaching private piano lessons, helping in children's church, and playing piano for church. I saw the Lord doing a great work in Sorority, with people being saved and baptized at Sorority Independent Baptist Church. Children were not only being cared for, but they were being saved and their lives changed. The Lord used this time to give me a peace about returning to Uganda and a desire to reach these children for the Lord. As I return, I am being sent by Deward Baptist Church in Deward, Minnesota, and am serving with Baptist International Missions. In addition to being involved at SOAP, I will be assisting church planting missionaries through teaching children's classes and discipling young ladies. I would be thrilled to partner with you to reach the people of Uganda for the Lord. Would you consider supporting me through your prayers and finances? Please pray for me as I prepare to return to Uganda.
So now that you can picture what I'm talking about, let me go back and explain a little bit about the church and the orphan ministry there. So we do have a church, and our orphan children are SOAP children. SOAP, I should explain that. It's the Sorority Orphan Assistance Project, shortened down to SOAP as an acronym. So our orphan children come to all the church services. A lot of our staff come, so the teachers, our Ugandan teachers, our kitchen staff, you know, grounds workers, many of them come to our church service. But it is a service, our church, for the community. So we have many families, couples, many children that come to our church services. So we have the Sundays and Wednesday services. And then once a month, we have a men's Bible study and a ladies' Bible study. And then Saturdays is our outreach going into the community. And so each one of the different missionaries, our church leaders, will take multiple of the older, our SOAP children with us. And we each go to a different section of the town, inviting people to church, witnessing to them. It helps us to have the Ugandans, our children, with us. And it's easier to make conversations, and they can help us some of the translating. And then we're able to train them and help them be able to share their faith, being involved in the ministries of the church there. Uganda would be, it's a very religious country. Most would be either Catholic or Anglican. They seem to be very open to talking with you. They'll receive a tract, very friendly, but they would just be very firm that you have to work for your salvation. So there's definitely a need in the country of Uganda. Now some of the ministries I'll be doing in the church, I'll have opportunity to play piano for the church service. One of the ministries that the church does is a discipleship program. And we have a discipleship book with 18 lessons. The basic truths, I guess, that a new believer should know, you know, a lesson, you know, soul winning, prayer, baptism, all the 18 lessons, but they're done individually with the new believer. So it takes quite a bit of time to do the 18 weeks individually with each believer. So quite a few different people. So I'd have the opportunity to do the discipleship program with the young ladies and the girls that get saved. We also have the children's church, many children that are coming. It was exciting to see. They had about 50 children coming for Sunday school, about 60 or 70 coming for the children's church, which is wonderful. But being able to help with the teaching, being another person in the classrooms helping with those ministries. Now, I told you about the Bible clubs. I'm going into the different villages, even in Sorority, but then in the surrounding villages, I'm working with the children. And then going into the schools is another ministry that our ladies have started, using the sports, doing the tutoring, a wonderful opportunity that we're allowed and even welcomed to come into the schools to help. Being able to speak English over there is highly, I guess, sought after to be able to get any jobs to continue on to high school or to college. They want to know English, so to be able to help with the tutoring as an open door for us to be able to get into the schools and share the gospel. And then the orphan ministry, the ministry out of the church, the Sorority Orphan Assistance Project. We take, the Ugandans would call them double orphans. So both their parents have died, and they would also be considered destitute, meaning they don't have any extended family or relatives that are able to take care of them. Many of them are from extremely poor families, extremely poor communities. And so the pastors from the surrounding churches will recommend these children to us. They would know the children that really need somebody to take care of them. They've all had traumatic pasts, and both their parents have died, but some of them in very traumatic ways. Some of them have to learn a new language when they arrive. If they haven't had schooling before, they won't know English. If they're coming from a different, you know, section of Uganda, they won't know the local language spoken in Sorority. So some of them have to learn a totally new language when they arrive. Many of them will come malnourished. Even when they go and visit relatives, we're sending food along for the whole time they're there to provide for them, just since they're from such poor communities. Orphans generally aren't seen very highly or treated very well in Uganda. So I've been told when the new children arrive, it generally takes like 2 to 3 months from, you know, smiling, not talking, you know, not interacting with anybody, we're loving them, taking care of them, providing for them, you know, spending time with them, to there's that switch. They've picked up the language. They're making friends with the other orphan children. They're laughing. They're talking. So it's exciting to see that switch. There is definitely a huge need to care for them, just the food, you know, clothes, providing the schooling, a huge need. But it's a wonderful opportunity to teach them about the Bible. which we do many different ways throughout each day of the week. We do the evening devotions. Every Monday through Friday, we have a devotion time with the children, teaching the Bible lesson, doing Bible memory, doing prayer requests with them. We have Bible classes for each of the grades. And of course, the church, we have a chapel that they come to each week. So praise the Lord, many of them do get saved, and it's exciting to see that. And I've heard the new group of children that just arrived this year in January, multiple of them already been saved. So that's such a blessing. We're so thankful for that. One of our boys is in Bible college. He's trained to be a pastor, and he's just now graduating this year, and his desire is to go back to his village and start a church. And that's wonderful when that happens. That's our goal and our desire, that they would be going back to all of their villages, you know, all over Uganda, and sharing their faith with their relatives. But then there's a school for these orphan children, a school on the same compound or the same property as the church there by the dorms. And so we would take the five-year-olds up through sixth grade, would be about the age that we have. And so we would hire Ugandan teachers to teach those classes. We would help with the English or teaching the Bible classes. And then at sixth grade, they would have a large national exam that would be required for them to take. It would be kind of like our ACT or SAT exams, except just a lot more intense. And depending on how well they do on this exam, it really decides if they can continue on to high school, what level of high school. It really decides on how they're going to continue. And so if they do well enough on the exam, they can go into high school, which would be a boarding school setting in Uganda. And so they're still supported by the orphan ministry, but they'd be living at the boarding school. Some of them that don't do as well on the exam, they can't go on to high school. We really try to get them to learn a trade. And so we have a couple boys learning to be a mechanic, a boy working on being a carpenter, a girl learning to sew. So trying to help them be able to support themselves, you know, get a job when they leave. So through first through sixth grade would be the ages or the grades. Some of the children come, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, and they haven't had schooling before. So they're put in the kindergarten, first grade level. So we have, you know, children that are 18, 19 years old, but still getting through the sixth grade. But that would be the ministries of the orphan ministry. Some things that I would praying about being involved, I could see myself being involved in over there, helping with their Bible classes, teaching the English, doing the tutoring, and working in the school there. I would also have opportunity to tutor. Many of our children will come in with different learning disabilities, especially learning how to read or speak English properly. Some of the math, really trying to help them to pass that exam. So they can continue on, be able to get a job or continue on to high school, helping them with that. Also doing the choir or teaching some of the music lessons. But the children are there 24/7. So spending time with them even outside of class. Saturday mornings is chore time. And so each of the children have their chore that they have to do, whether it's cutting the grass or cleaning or, you know, whatever their chore is, working in the gardens. So helping with supervising that. And then Saturday afternoons is game time. And so we'll try to teach them some of our American games. They try to teach us some of their Ugandan games. We spend time with the children, getting to know them. So that's a kind of an overview. I hope that helps you picture what the orphan ministry there, the church there, the ministries, the missionary team that's in Uganda.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sarah. I appreciate that. That's a blessing. And both of these ladies that the Lord has brought to our conference have been a great blessing to me and to my wife as we've gotten to meet them and know them. They've been a challenge to us, and I hope that they are a challenge to our young people in our church, that, you know, God wants to use you. And it's not just those who are married with a family that God wants to use. In fact, may I remind you that the Bible is actually very, very clear that if we're able to be single, God doesn't want to put us into bondage, but if we're able to be single and serve Him, that's actually His preference. I know that kind of goes against and grates against the way we normally think, but that's actually, God wants us to be able to be without care so we can go to those places and do those things that with a family would be much harder to do. And God sometimes, obviously, has things like that change and midstream sometimes. But I am so very, very proud of these ladies that God has brought to be with us. And I hope that they're a challenge to our young people that, listen, if you are single, God wants to use you. In fact, I would say God wants to use you probably more now than maybe even later on in your life. There are things that God wants you to do, and he has given you the ability to do that someone else can't do because they're tied down in other ways. So I would encourage you to pray about and seek God's face. Obviously, if you're still living in your parents' home, that I would encourage you to seek their advice and their counsel. But prayerfully consider, what does God want you to do? I'll guarantee you what he doesn't want you to do is to be spending the majority of your time wasting time. God wants you to invest that time and invest it for eternity, and you will be glad that you did. And I thank the Lord for all of our missionaries. Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate that. And Bethany, yours last night was a blessing as well. And so Revelation 20. Now, this is a little bit of a longer reading, I know how it goes. I certainly sit in the pew a lot and listen to others read, and it is very easy to allow your mind to drift, but I would encourage you, as I read out loud and you follow along silently, don't allow your mind to drift, but rather hear what God's word says here in Revelation 20. It has much to do with the cause for which we have a missions conference, Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, to the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. As we read that scripture, it's important for us to remember that those words are exactly true. There will come a day when everyone whose name is not found in the book of life will be cast in the lake of fire. That's why we have a missions conference. We want to get the good news to them that there is salvation and their name can be written. We have another missions video at this time. This one was put together by Remnant Ministries. Our friend, Evangelist Caleb Garraway, put this video together. And so I hope that you enjoy that at this time.
Our dreams are tawdry, showy, but cheap and of poor quality when they are compared to the leading of God. They are not worthy of the aura of wonder we usually surround them with. God only doeth wonders. His hand can work nothing less. In my own experience, I have found that the most extravagant dreams of boyhood have not surpassed the great experience of being in God's will. I believe that nothing could be better. His will is always a bigger thing than we bargain for, but we must believe that whatever it involves, it is good, acceptable, and perfect. Father, let me loose my clutch on everything temporal, my life, my possessions. Lord, help me release the tension of my grasping hand. Open it as Christ's was opened to receive the nail of Calvary, that I might be unleashed from all that binds me. God, saturate me with the oil of the Spirit, that I may be a flame. I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus. Surely those who know the great compassionate heart of God must deny their own loves to share in the expression of His. Compelled by His call from the throne above, from those round about, and even from the damned souls below, I dare not stay home while others perish. It makes me boil when I think of the power we profess and the utter impotency of our action. We are spiritual pacifists in this battle to the death with principalities and powers in high places. American believers have sold their lives to the service of mammon, and the tombs themselves are not colder than our well-fed churches. Their condemnation is written in the dust on their Bible covers. We are content to sit by and leave the enemies of God unchallenged. Young men are going into professional fields because they don't feel called. We don't need a call. We need a kick in the pants. We need a stirring. May God send us forth, because He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. I pray that the Lord will give you a hallowed daredevil spirit in lifting the sword of truth, consuming you with a passion that is called by the cultured citizen of Christendom fanaticism, but known to God as that saintly madness that led His Son through bloody sweat and hot tears to glory. How long dare we go on without passion and love? Not long, I pray, Lord Jesus, not long.
Right before the preaching of God's word, we do have some special music, and tonight Miss Bethany Needham is going to provide that special music for us. So she will be accompanied by Miss Sarah Shadrach, and so immediately after that, Brother Johnson's going to come up and preach.
Commune as friend with friend. that I may